I think this year you wanted to I think finish off the parrot, but not go further. Am I right in that?
Yes. We thought that instead of doing half the shared, finishing off the parrot and the other half the shear starting a new parrot, we thought maybe just finish off the parrot. But you know, if you feel that it's you like to start the new parrot, then fine, we can always.
No, I'm just I hope I have enough material planned in the last few lines. I know I said there's
I don't see a problem starting the new parrot this evening, and we can always do Chazara tomorrow.
Okay. So anyways, let's go over the last previous Gemara, the Zayin Madana, what we learned from the Mishnah. A few didn't mention the Mishnah. First of all, somebody was had a Gemara Din. He had the Pesach and Basin that he's Chayv Misa, and he runs away from Basin, and he comes back to that Basin. The Gemara says, we don't re-judge him. But the next one, Mishnah says, if he comes to a different Basin and Adam are testifying that he had the Pesach in Basin A and he's coming to Basin B, then we don't rejudge him either. We can rely on the Adam. And the Gemara asks, what do you mean? We just said in the first part of the Mishnah that you rely only in the first Basin. If he comes back to the first Basin, that's when we don't rejudge him. But if he goes to a different Basin, we do rejudge him. That would imply if he goes to a different Basin, you rejudge him. And now the Mishnah is saying that no, in another Beis Din, as long as Adam come along, then we also don't rejudge him. So a contradiction in implications, when do we rejudge him, when do we not rejudge him? And the Gemara answers that it depends. Of course, if he's going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, then we say we don't rejudge him. However, if he's going the other way around, he's going from Chutz Aretz to Eretz Yisrael, we rejudge him in a different Beis Din, because the Chutz of Eretz Yisrael, maybe he'll get some merit and because of the fact he's in Eretz Yisrael, that gives the people Zechus. So that answers the contradiction in implications. So really, we never rejudge him, except if he goes to Eretz Yisrael, then a different Beis Din will rejudge him because of the Zechus of Eretz Yisrael. And then we had in the Mishnah Sanhedrin being applying in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, meaning you have to make Sanhedrin, you have to put up Bati Dinim, even in Chutz La'aretz. And we had the frequency of when a Sanhedrin kills, well, when would they be considered a Chivlanis, a cruel, a murderous Beis Din. So it was either once in first shitter was once in 7 years, and the second shitter was once in 70 years. Now, Jonathan asked on Sunday, was there any relation to this to Shmita, perhaps? And what's the 7 and the 70? It sounds very much around number 7. So I did see people that say as follows. They say, I mean, I guess you can ask it as follows. What's it got to do with Basin if they're murderers or not? You know, they judge a court case. If there's more murderers, then they'll kill more people. If there's less murderers, they'll kill less people. What's it got to do with Basin if there's more murderers or less murderers? Now, my first thought was that the Mishnah means, because if they're judging so many people for the death penalty, then they'll maybe not be checking really well exactly what's going on. It's too much killing people. That sounds like maybe there's something wrong going on with the way they judge, because if they're killing too many people, then possibly they're doing it too, they're being too quick in their court case. But these people say a different pshat. They say that the Gemara tells us, we're going to learn it on Daf Yud Aleph, that a Kohen got, we know that when you go to the Ari Miklot, you wait until the Kohen Gadol dies. Yeah?
That was my idea.
That was what?
I suggested that as well.
Go on, please remind what you said. Maybe I've forgotten.
Is it to do with the death of because 70 years is the death of the Kohen Gadol?
Well, 70 years is not necessarily the death of the Kohen Gadol, so it might be connected to what you're saying. But 70 years is lifespan of Kohen Gadol, could be anything. So 1 second, let's just finish off the thing, see how related it is. So we're saying that we have to wait to the death of Kohen Gadol. What's Kohen Gadol got to do with anything? What's Kohen Gadol got to do with the Ari Miklot? So the Gemara says, because the Kohen Gadol should have davened, maybe on Yom Kippur, that there should not be these murders taking place. And so therefore he's held responsible. So too say these Achronim, that the Sanhedrin is held responsible for the people that's killed, because they should have been, they're like the leaders of generation, they should have davened that there should not be these murders happening. Now, so that's why they're held responsible. Now the question is, what frequency makes them, like, meaning each generation, the Gemara uses a term, they should have been, the Kohen Gadol should have davened for his dor, for his generation. So we're saying over here, the Sanhedrin should have davened for their generation. Now the argument in the Mishnah is, what's considered a generation? How long, how many years is a generation? And on that, the argument is it 70 years? Because the lifespan of a person is 70 years, so that's considered a generation. That's the second shitta. And the first shitta is, 7 years is considered a generation. Why? Because back in the times of, I think, Noach or whatever it was, people actually had children at the age of 8. So 7 years, until 8 years, was considered one generation. So the argument is, do we consider a generation like we considered it back in the times of Noach, that 7 years, where it was already the difference in age between parents and children? Or do we look at it that a generation is considered by the lifespan of a person? And that we were saying that the basin should have done for their generation, meaning if more than once in a generation it happens, that's already, that we consider that they're held responsible for not doubling enough.
So what's the connection to 8 years? I didn't quite catch that.
8 years is when they had in the early times, in the times of Noach, that's what age they were able to have children, 8 years old.
Right.
So that's considered a generation, because the difference between a parent and a child, the parent is one generation, the children are the second generation. So the difference...
Oh, so that's years, a seven years business.
Huh?
That's what you're saying it's one more than 7 years.
Well, yeah, one more than the generation, yeah. So 7 years difference. I'm not sure why, it should be 8 years. I'm not really sure about that. It should be 8 years. But that's what he said.
It's a bit like 70 and 80 years, you know, like 70 years is a good life, and with strength, 80 years.
Well, yeah, I guess so. So it's a question of 70 or 8 or 7 years, yeah. So that's the argument in the Mishnah. How do we consider that, meaning we are holding the Sanhedrin responsible for not doubling for their generation? What question is, what's considered a generation? So that maybe, I don't know if that helps out with that point, if that gives any more clarity of why, what's the significance of 70 years or 7 years is. They're not trying, I mean, there might be another pshat to Shmita, but they're going with a different idea of the generation idea.
Yeah, that makes more sense, because otherwise it would be 7 and 49 or 50, not 7 and 70.
Right. So then we had the Mishnah saying that the last shit in the Mishnah was Kivan B'Tarifin was saying, if we want the Sanhedrin, we would make sure no one would ever get killed. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says to them, what do you mean? You're encouraging murderers, because if you're always going to make sure everyone gets up scot-free, then it's not going to be a deterrent to murderers. So let's see the Gemara inside again from just the last few lines of the Perek. It's the last narrow line of the Daf, Rabbi Tarifin Rabbi Kiva Oimrim. So it's quoting the Mishnah. Rabbi Tarifin Rabbi Kiva Oimrim. They would say, if we were a basin, we would make sure no one ever get killed. Okay, so hey, Chav, of this, the Gemara asks, what would they do? How would they make sure everyone got on scot-free? What would they do in order to pater everyone? Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Elazar, the Omri Tavayu. Rabbi Yechon both say, they would ask the following question. Re'isim trefa horag, sholim horag. They would ask the Eidim, who are coming to testify in this murder case. You know, this victim that you saw died, you know, the perpetrator killed the victim. You know, how do you know what the victim was? Was he someone who was healthy? Was he a traitor, maybe? Now, what a traitor means, We use it, the gabe, in reference to cows, you know, are they kosher or not? But the idea is, trefa means, I think the word trefa means torn. There are 18 types of injury, the Gemara in Chulin tells us, that an animal or a person doesn't survive the year if he has these injuries. So someone who's got who won't survive the year, halachically is considered a trefa, and he doesn't have the same dinim as a live person. If you kill a trefa, you're not eligible for the death penalty. You did something wrong because you killed him, but you are not chayv misa because you didn't kill someone who's going to survive the year. So what they would ask, they would say, you know, did you check the victim? Did you know he wasn't a trefa? Maybe he was a trefa, and therefore you can't. You'll come to testify and say that Reuben killed Shimon. Okay, let's say we believe you, but maybe Shimon was already a trefa, and therefore Reuben is not eligible for the death penalty. So the Gemara continues, and obviously that was something very hard. How can you check? You know, you're going to start checking a dead body to see if it's a trefa. Like, we know Shechtim check cows to see if they're trefas after they check them by doing certain things. They blow up the lungs, they do this, they do that. People aren't going to do that to their bodies. You know, I mean, besides the fact that it's probably awesome because you have to take apart the body. So obviously this was a very, basically a way of making sure that the Edim would not be able, well, they would testify, but we wouldn't accept their testimony because we'd always be worried for this option of maybe he's a trefa and therefore we can't kill Reuben.
So is that every person, no matter what their age, you have to suspect they might be a trefa? Like a...
Right, so you're asking what Tosis is asking. You're saying, well, put it this way, if there's such a possibility of someone being a trefa, then what's the argument in the Mishnah? Like, how could anyone get killed? What does everyone else hold? Put it that way. Let's maybe shift the question that way. You know, is there a real worry here that he's a trefa or not? Like, Jonathan's putting in the way of, you know, a young person that we're going to start to see, yeah, understand, 80-year-old person, he's got heart conditions. Yes, we understand he might be considered a trefa, but a healthy young 20-year-old, we're going to start saying he's a trefa. Why on earth would we suspect someone of being a trefa? And I'm adding to your question saying, what does everyone else hold? You know, there's an argument in the Mishnah about it, so everyone else doesn't hold this. What's the argument here? Whether you are worried or aren't worried? So we're going to discuss that in a minute. That's Tosis' question. We'll discuss that in a minute. So the Gemara continues that, and in the Imtim Tzadayma of Rav Ashi adds to this and says, Imtim Tzadayma, they'll say furthermore to the Edim, Imtim Tzadayma Shalom, who, even if you checked him, let's say you did check, you checked the dead body and you found out he even had no, signs of being a traitor. Dilma Mokim Saif Nikki, maybe, this guy stabbed him, let's say. Maybe he stabbed him where there already was a wound. Yeah, you checked him to see there was no trefas besides a wound of the death. But maybe where he stabbed him was actually there, he was a trefa in that place where he stabbed him, he was already a trefa there. So you see, he stabbed him in the heart, but he already had a hole in his heart. How do you know he didn't have a hole in his heart? You checked him, everything else, but he didn't have a hole in his heart. And that was basically a sure way of making Reuben be free. Because you can't answer these, you can't be certain about these cases. There's no way that Edom's saying, well, no, he checked beforehand and he didn't have a hole in his heart, then he stabbed and he had a hole in his heart. How likely is that to happen?
Is it consequential or is it possible that the initial hole that existed was really just a wound, and that using the same entry point but causing proper damage, such that you kill the person, was the issue here.
That's possible, but I guess what we're asking here is, we're trying to ascertain, is this Shimon fellow, is he a traitor? Was he a traitor before? And if he was a traitor, Reuben would get off scot-free. And the Edom can't, even if they check the dead body afterwards, they can't say, we checked the heart before the death, to know there was never a hole there in the first place. Of course, yes. The wound caused him to die quicker. But the question was there a wound before that? And we can never know that.
And just that I understand it, I guess this is less about the situation being engaged with, but more about the halachas of trefas. Is a non-lethal... A trefa has to be something which is not going to survive 12 months, right?
I believe. I'm also not familiar with it. I think that's a basic thing I know. That's everything. I think that's
okay.
I think that's a general rule.
So I just guess, you know, if he had a stab wound, and maybe in those days that would be sufficient to kill them.
Right.
But then this guy accelerated his death. I mean, I guess the question is: there's enough Kamina, but there's an interesting point that as to whether this is, you know, a meaningful wound or just enough of a wound that it is a wound and that gives him the din of Trafa. And once you're Trafa, then it's, you know what I mean.
I think, are you asking maybe the wound caused him to become a Trafan or die quicker?
No, I just wonder if, I was just trying to understand if it's one of two things, whether the wound causes the Trafus, but the Trafus is not going to fundamentally kill them. And then, and since he's got the Din Trafa, then the other person come along and they can, you know, he comes.
Well, we're not talking about someone who kills him before. We're talking about whatever reason it was, he had maybe, but Sanhedrin are assuming him, Kiva Bataf and the Gemara, assuming, you know, or asking the Edom, you can't be Mechayev Reuven because perhaps Shimon was a traitor beforehand, although Reuven did essentially kill him because he caused it to die quicker. You know, he would have died only in 11 months' time, now he died today. But since we can never ascertain that Shimon did not have these wounds beforehand, or a similar wound, a wound in that place where he was stabbed, we can never ascertain that for sure. Then how do you know, how can you kill him? That maybe there's one case you can kill him if he was killed by poison or electric chair or something like that. Something which leaves no wounds, and then you check the body for no wounds. How likely is that to be? Again, they would basically make sure that all murder cases were not able to be answered. Okay, so so it says a Gemara. Okay, so that sorts out murder. So that we'd see you wouldn't be able to kill someone for a murder case, but there's other cases someone gets misa for, by arayos, yeah, by forbidden relationships, ishesh, etc., or other forbidden relationships. There's also murder for that. So how would they inquire from the Edom that there would not be a murder for those cases? Edom come and say they saw a forbidden relationship happening. You know, why would the guy not get death penalty? Says the Gemara. How would they do it by forbidden relationships? Abai Barabba both say they would ask the following: Re'isim kimchol b'shvei feres. Now the word kimchol b'shvei feres means would they see it's a moshel, it's a clean word, meaning they used to have makeup in an eggshell, so they would dip the makeup pen in the eggshell. So it's basically a term used for did they see the actual penetration? That's what the Gemara is saying. So they would ask that.
What does that mean? Sorry.
Did they see when it came to forbidden relationships? Did they actually see the penetration happening, or did they just see these two bodies next to each other? So they didn't see anything. They didn't know what they did. They didn't see the act taking place. They didn't actually see the actual act, which is Chayiv Misa, taking place. They just saw a man and a woman together in a bed. They didn't see the penetration, basically.
Right.
Well, so since the Edom are unlikely to have seen that, then they can't be Chayiv death penalty. Death penalty is only Chayiv for that act. It's not Chayiv for anything more, anything less than that. Anything less than that is wrong, but it's not going to be Chayiv them, the Chayiv them, the death penalty.
It's like Zimri and Cosby.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a ness that Pinchas had. It's actually a good sushtel that. That's a good comparison, because one of the nisim the Medrash relates when it comes to Pinchas is that they when it comes to Kanoim Poigimboy, that din that Pinchas can go and stab at the time of the act, that's only allowed when the act's actually taking place. One of the nisim was that Zimri and Cosby didn't go away from each other, and he stabbed them in a way that everyone would see that I stabbed them because they were doing this act. So yeah, that's a good comparison. So that's what the Gemara said. That's what they would inquire, and therefore, since the Edom were never able or unlikely to have seen that, again, it's hidden. So how is it likely to see that? Therefore, they would not be mechayev, they would get off scot-free. Says the Gemara, Rabbanan Hechi Hadayini. But okay, so if they didn't see, so how would anyone, you know, this is only Rabbi Akiva and Tarifim, but everyone else who does give a death penalty for such acts, you know, how would they have testimony on it? Says the Gemara, because Shmuel, they would judge like Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, B'mna'ofim, Mishyirukim, B'mna'ofim, with people who are committing adulterous acts, you don't actually have to see the actual act taking place. All you have to see is two people sort of going together like you would expect people to go together to commit an adulterous act. And you don't actually have to see the penetration itself. That it's enough to see what people usually do. And that would say, well, you know, we can assume that it actually happened. Okay. So that's really the question and answer of the Gemara. If we have to go over those points. The idea was, Rabbi Akiva and Tav were finding cases where the Edom couldn't reply, couldn't give affirmation on their questions because they didn't see whether he was a traitor, they didn't see the Kimchol Shebishvei Beres, they didn't actually see the actual act physically taking place, rather they just saw two bodies together. So therefore they were got off scot-free. Now going back to the question that Jonathan was saying, you know, traitors. You know, the Gemara does ask by the relationships what the Rabbanan, how the Rabbanan would pass. You know, if you have to see the act, then how would the Rabbanan ever give them death penalty? And we said, because they don't actually have to see the act, they can just see the basic surroundings of that. They have to see the actual thing. So what about when it comes to traitors? Yeah, how would they answer when it comes to whether or not the victim was a traitor? Moravshah, do we assume he was a traitor or do we not assume he was a traitor? That's what you're asking, Jonathan. Well, you know, a healthy 20-year-old, are we going to start being worried he's a traitor? So Tosis asks, Tosis says, usually in Shas, what do? We go after Rav. Most people aren't traitors, so we assume most people aren't traitors. This victim also wasn't a traitor. What reason do we have to start assuming he's a traitor?
I've got a friend even who, when he was 20, the doctors knew that he had a hole in his heart, and he happily still with us, don't worry. But he happily carried on even for 25 years without even an operation.
Oh wow! Okay, so maybe that wouldn't be a traitor. I don't know if that would be categorized as a traitor. I throw it in as just an example, but I don't know.
That's with the help of MMR monitoring it.
Oh, I see. Interesting. Okay. Okay.
You know, I mean, like you can't. You know, you're not going to sort of like mutilate somebody's body just to see if they're a traitor or not. You know, it's one thing doing damage to a body, a small amount of damage to see, to test how ill they are, because if you might need to do an operation or not, but to damage somebody's body because you need to see if somebody else should get the death penalty or not.
Right. And more than that, maybe they can't. Maybe the wound was already there in the place where you stabbed him, etc. So it wouldn't be... So the Tosis is saying we rely on Rav. We assume people aren't traitors. Most people aren't traitors. So Tosis gives the answer as follows. He says... Sorry, 1 second, just remind myself. Yeah, so Tosis says it wasn't so much that they would ask this question. Rather, it was they would ask many details. They would ask many details of the Edom and start asking them, you know, was he wearing, how did you kill him, how did you do this, how did you do that? Enough questions to make sure that there would be some sort of contradiction between the two Edom, and that would cause them to be disqualified. So the Gemara is just giving an example of that. It's not so much they would never be able to kill someone. Of course, there would be some circumstances where the Edom were in line very much. But they would ask so many questions of the Edom, they would eventually catch them out on something. Although they're true Edom, but they would catch them out because any time the Edom contradicted each other, that disqualifies them. So they would ask, like, what kind of scarf is he wearing? What kind of this? What kind of that? And through that, disqualify the Edom, and therefore there would be no testimony to kill Reuben. Well, this touches upon, just as a disclaimer, this touched upon a big sugya in Sanhedrin, what disqualifies Edom, because sometimes not every contradiction should disqualify Edom. If they contradict which kind of jumper, why should that disqualify them? There's certain categories of questions which do disqualify certain which don't, and this is, I think it's got to do with this tesis. I haven't really learned the sugya, so I don't know enough, but it is connected to that. There is a question out there, how much? What sort of questions do disqualify Edom and what won't? But that's one idea out there in Tosfos. And the other thing I wanted to share was the last Tosfos in the Perek, shares a question as follows. He says, the Gemara sorted out two things. The Gemara sorted out murder cases and forbidden relationships. What happens when it comes to Avodah Zarah, somebody who serves idols, and someone's Mechal Shabbos? Those two examples the Gemara didn't deal with. How would you be able to catch the Edom out in that? So Taisa says, you're right, in those cases, they would be put to death, but those cases, apparently, Taisa says, weren't very frequent. And since they weren't frequent, Rabbi Kiva and Tafan weren't worried for those cases. That's the idea Taisa throws in. Yeah, that's all I have to say on the Perek, so I think we'll say Hadron Loch Keter the Edom, and everyone's drink their virtual Lachaim now. I should have sent it around, to be honest with you, but maybe for the next, maybe when we get together we can have a Lachaim the Mafreya. No reason why not. Look forward to starting a new Perek. And next topic is going to be about, it's a completely new topic, so anyone who wants to join, it's nothing to do with, it's the same as Sechta, but the topics don't, it's not based on one another, and therefore it's a whole new thing.
What's the main...